And we'll preach from a very familiar passage of scripture and very familiar to us here recently. I think I preached out, maybe not out of this chapter, but I preached about the alabaster box here not long ago. And we're not going to be dealing with the alabaster box, even though it's in our story this morning, as much so as we will be dealing with the woman that came. So anyhow, in Luke chapter number 7, we'll be in verse, starting in verse number 36. If you're there, you can say amen for me. All right, we'll read down through the end of the chapter. So we'll read down through verse number 50 from verse number 36. The Bible says, and one of the Pharisees, all right, let's not miss that. We got to understand the context of what's going on right here and understand that this was a Pharisee's house. All right. We also need to understand that the Pharisees did not like Jesus. So it was very much possible, and probably I would say 100% possible, but he was inviting Christ, all right, not because he wanted to spend some time with him. More than likely, he was inviting him so that he may find something wrong with him, something to accuse him of. And let me say this. That pharisaical attitude is amongst us. People are not sincere anymore. They want to get to know people so that they can find out what's wrong with them. If your intentions of going into a relationship is to find out what's wrong with somebody, then let me save you and them and everybody some heartache. Stay to yourself. And if you'll keep looking in that mirror, you'll find plenty wrong. And if you can't, do me a favor, call me and I'll tell you what's wrong with you. And is everybody all right? And I imagine the same thing that's wrong with you is wrong with me. So I'm probably an expert on it. Is everybody all right? The same thing that's wrong with me is probably wrong in you. So I count myself an expert. Just call me if you need somebody to tell you what's wrong with you. All right. Verse number 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. Boy, that's a good label for all of us. I think every one of us could take that label and we can put it over our head. We can walk around with a banner. I was a sinner. Amen. Thankful I ain't a sinner no more. Y'all got to help me. I thankful I ain't in the same place that I was. All right. I still sin. All right. But I ain't that sinner no more. Hallelujah. God save me. All right. Bible says, and when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. And stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and then wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now I've already thought about 16 or 20 of you women that never would have gotten this far. One, you ain't gonna mess up your hair. And two, you ain't kissing no feet. I need somebody to help me. I might even take this a little bit farther and say none of you would have got this far. Is everybody all right? Hey, I'm talking about this got serious and it got serious quick. Miranda wouldn't have done it. Now, amen, Brother Matt? She won't even look at feet that ain't got socks on them. She's rough. Jesus didn't wear socks, man. Just saying. Bible says that she stood at his feet behind him. Of course, we know from years of preaching here that the way that they were sitting at the table, they were inclined, and so his feet were behind him. We also know, I hope you know, that during the day, this was a custom that people could come to the dinner. They could not get involved in it. The dinner wasn't for everybody. It wasn't like a Baptist church where everybody shows up wanting to eat. But they could come watch the dinner that was going on. And that's what they were there to do, was just observe. And that's why this woman, which was a sinner. And by the way, that label of was a sinner just wasn't any ordinary sinner. It was a label. It implied that she was a prostitute, or at least she had been a prostitute and was guilty of sexual immoral acts. All right. And so, this was a little bit farther than just saying that she was a sinner. It was going on and really describing, what she was by the verbiage and the way that it is used here. We know that this was a woman of ill repute. All right. We'll just say it like that, at one point in her life, but she was able to come into the house, not because she was invited, but because the custom of the day allowed her to enter into, as long as she observed and didn't get involved. She wasn't to speak, and that wasn't just because she was a woman. Anyone that came in, male or female, wasn't allowed to partake nor to interrupt, if you will, their meal or their dinner. Okay. And so we find her at his feet, crying on his feet. And then no doubt, more than likely, after doing so, crying profusely and seeing the tears fall on his feet, she did the only thing that she knew to do, and that was to wipe his feet. And she didn't have anything to do or anything to do that with other than her hair. And once, is everybody with me? Once she got down there and was at his feet, those same feet that had forgiven her, those same feet that had loved her, those same feet that had shown grace to her, she was in a position to where the Bible says she kissed his feet, and then she began to anoint them with her alabaster box. Verse number 39, now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. You need to underline that. He didn't say anything out loud. The Bible says he spake within himself. Where that's going to come important is because God was at that dinner. And it was his feet that were being cried on. It was his feet that were being kissed. And it was his feet that were being anointed. And he knew the heart of those that were in the room. See, we like to think that God only knows it or if I say it. But the Bible tells us that this man spoke within himself. He never said anything out loud. But he spoke within himself, and he said this in his own heart, without words. This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus, answering, said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Oh, he didn't know what he was getting himself into. I think we look at this, and because of the wordage, we think that maybe he had respect for Jesus, but he didn't. You have to remember that in Jesus' time with his disciples, he was considered a rabbi and thereby considered a master or a teacher. So this man was simply saying what Jesus was. He was a teacher. But what he didn't realize was that Jesus knew who he was. I think that's a problem with a lot of folks today, as we don't have a real good understanding of who we are. And, you know, he was worried about this woman and who she was, when he was a lot worse off than that woman who was a sinner. Y'all help me now. Y'all got to help me. I preach this since I've been here in 2012, this thought. We get so hung up on our outward sins that we miss the sins on the end, on our inner sins. We get so hung up on the drunk, so hung up on the drug addict, so hung up on the prostitute and the adulteress and all these things that we miss out on the ugliness that's within. Jesus didn't deal with the ugliness on the outside. He dealt with the ugliness that was within this man's heart. And he was more interested in that. Is everybody with me? The Bible says Jesus basically addressed him and says, I have something to say to you. And the old boy said, well, go ahead. The Bible says, verse number 41, Jesus answered him. He said this. He said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. You tell in the wording. Jesus catches people. I mean, over and over again, he catch. You remember he caught the lawyer? And he says, which one's the neighbor? Oh, well, you know. How many times have you been caught? Well, this is what he done. Well, I suppose. I suppose the one that he forgave the most. It don't take a rocket scientist. Right? I see a man that's trying to justify his unwillingness, his lack of respect. I didn't come to preach this, but I'm going to. We see him demonstrate evidence, his lack of respect, everything that you could possibly see about this man, it is shown in our society today. We don't respect people. We don't, and we justify it by our words. Well, what's right's right. He was busted. Is everybody with me? He was busted. And then he said, well, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. I see this attitude in many people. The Bible says, and he said unto him, Jesus speaking now, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman. He quit looking at Simon. He looked at the woman and looked upon her, but he was talking to Simon. And he says, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she hath loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. This mindset is in the church. There's a mindset amongst people in the church that I'm not that bad of a person. There's a mindset that I'm not like them. And you can come to this church and you can get that mindset pretty quick. There's a lot of people that's come into the church and you come from a background maybe of church, or you come from a background maybe of you've been around good things in your life, and most of the people got in here drunks. That God just loved and saved. I need somebody. Is everybody all right? And we start looking at it and we start hearing them testify. Well, I ain't like that. I wasn't like that. And it breeds this attitude of, well, I didn't need it as much as they did. We wouldn't say that, because to say that would be to deny scripture. But we have an attitude that displays it. Well, I wasn't that bad. I wasn't nothing like that. I mean, you know, there's a lot you can say about me, preacher, but I ain't never had alcohol touch my lips. Well, praise God. Amen. Hey, I don't even know why Jesus had to die for you, since you never drank. What was he thinking? I mean, He died on the cross for Adam for eating the wrong, somebody. Adam ate the wrong plate of food. Didn't have his name on it. He pulled it out of the refrigerator and ate somebody else's food. Is everybody all right? And Jesus had to die for him, but thank God you didn't drink no alcohol. Praise God. What was Jesus thinking? The same attitude gets in us, and if we're not careful, it comes out of us. Because what's the attitude, what's in the heart? Come on, y'all, help me. Comes out. And so how the attitude of your heart is displayed, I believe, in your worship. I'm going to hide behind the pulpit and say that again. The attitude of your heart is displayed in your worship. Well, I just can't worship like anybody else. Well, you don't realize what you got saved from. Goes on, it says in verse 48, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? Now everybody's starting to say, whoa, wait a minute. There's something different about this man. Verse 50, and he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Hey, who did that? Whoever did it, I appreciate it. Thank you. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Because he told her, you go in peace. In other words, God's not warring against you. I'm going to need somebody to help me right there. God's not warring against you anymore. You are saved from his wrath. I looked at this woman, I got the picture and this story, and I've already shared some of it with you, but this woman, I believe, was standing there. And as she was standing there, tears were falling from her eyes. And how many of you know when you have a good old ugly cry? Man, everything get wet. I love it. Oftentimes, there's a spot up here right now on one of the altars where somebody cried on it. Many times, I will get up here and there'll be tears on the platform from singers singing and stuff as they sing, and the words of the song get them. I mean, it touches them, and you'll see tears. I remember we used to have in places we'd have wooden or over on the other building we had our platform, we had steps, and they were vinyl step or the vinyl plank. And man, they'd be tears all over them before I preached. I mean, people crying and weeping. And man, you know, when you get that, you know, when you get one of them good tears, one of them good cries, and it's just flowing. And as she was standing there, I was thinking about her standing there over him and over his feet. And those tears began to fall, and probably embarrassed, probably a, oops, I can't believe I did that. She got down to wipe his feet and had nothing to do with except her hair. And so as she wiped the tears, is everybody with me? Am I the only one seeing this? So as she's wiping the tears, she's already there. These beautiful feet that had done so much for her already, had already forgiven her. She wouldn't be there if I hadn't already forgiven her. Is everybody all right? Say, why did he say that thy sins are forgiven? He seems a lot like some of you. She needed to hear it several times. Now, how many of you has ever prayed for the same sin over and over again? Don't lie. I know everybody has. You failed God. You've done something in your life and you asked for forgiveness and you believed that God forgave you. But the devil will convince you that you need to ask again and again and again and again. Some of you has been asking. Listen. Some of you have been asking for forgiveness for sins that happened years and years and years ago. And God saying, what sin are you talking about? You ain't got past it. You ain't got past it. And obviously she hadn't got past it. And so Jesus tells her again, thy sins are forgiven. But as she's there, she begins to kiss his feet. And I was thinking, we don't even understand. I'm not going to preach long, all right? Everybody all right? So y'all don't worry. But I got to thinking about this woman and her brokenness. They was 12 men that was there with Jesus, and not one of them was broken. They were 12 men that had walked with Jesus, had lived with Jesus, had studied his teachings, had been with him for years, and yet they had been with him so long that they had a case of familiarity. And that case of familiarity that they had with his person came out in their worship. They were probably at that dinner like they belonged there. They had probably, after working and after walking with him, had gotten to a place to where they felt like they belonged, and they were the entourage, and he didn't go anywhere without them because they were the special ones, right? It's amazing to me how we got to have an entourage to go anywhere. And is everybody all right? I remember I'm still bitter at Usher. How many of y'all know who Usher is, the singer? Y'all know who he is, the rapper, whatever. I don't know, does he rap or does he sing? I don't know. Anyhow, hey, Lord, I ain't going to be able to get over that one. But anyhow, we was at what's the place called, Michelle? Six Flags. We were at Six Flags, and Usher was there, and he was performing that night. And anyhow, we're standing in lines for hours, and Usher with his entourage of 30 people, he just comes in and gets in front of everybody. Is that about right? Hey, I ain't got no problem with Usher. He can probably sing. But I would have beat his behind that day. Is everybody hear me? Somebody get this on tape. I would have whipped his behind. I got so mad. We'd stand in line for 2 hours, and then Usher would come in with 30 people in front of me. I'm like, I ain't got patience. One, is everybody all right? I'm standing here with kids all over me screaming and hollering and everything else, and you're going to let Usher come up like Usher, somebody, I'll bust Usher right in the mouth. Somebody, everybody all right? I'm sure Usher can sing, but he wouldn't be singing that night if they'd let me get loose on it. I ain't talking about just one bride. I'm talking about over and over and over again. He had him an entourage, and they were special. And they'd come through, and boy, they had their security team walking him all through Six Flags, and he was all special, and then they were going to pay him on top of that. I was paying. I need somebody to help me. I was the paying customer. They're paying him and treating him like something backwards about that, but. And all them people that were with him, let me tell y'all what they done. This is where they got really bitter. They would let them ride that ride, Miss Cece, as much as they wanted to. So they'd ride that ride, and if his entourage wanted to ride it again, even if Usher didn't, I didn't have to do that. I had to get out of line and go, y'all, I'm still bitter about it. Y'all pray for me and Usher, all right? But anyhow, these men get up there in that entourage, and they start thinking that there's something that they ain't. Because while I have a lot of respect for Usher and his voice and what he can do, ain't nobody that was with Usher. You understand what I'm saying? There ain't none of them that was with Usher that any different than me. They just thought that they was better off because of who they was with. And a lot of times, we do the same thing. We start acting like we're just better off than what we really are just because of who we associate with. And so we come into the church, and because we associate with the church, we get the feeling that I'm all over somebody's grits right now. Y'all know when the butter and the salt and the pepper goes on the grits, you got to have that in your grits. You can't just eat grits by themselves. And I'm all over your grits right now. Yeah. It's going to get good to you, but it might taste a little bitter. You might have to take a few bites before you get the salt just right. We get to hanging around, and by association, we start to thinking that we are a little better than what we really are. And so all 12 of these men sitting around meal like they belong there. All 12 of these men sitting around like, we've arrived. And the Pharisees sitting in there like he'd arrived. But there was one that had come up in there and she was broken. She hadn't been called by the seaside. She ain't been asked to leave and follow her or follow him. She ain't been asked to. This, according to the scripture, was a woman that was a sinner, and she was a notorious sinner. She was a bad sinner. She was broken. I think if anybody in the story, I think all of us could identify more with her than anybody else in the story. Do you agree with that? You may not have been a prostitute. I hope. But I think we can identify with her. Y'all stop looking around, all right? Hey, a bunch of Pharisees, like, she getting up. I'm just kidding. Nobody was doing that, but you was thinking it. The Lord let me know it was within your heart. Some of y'all get that when you get home. Where was I at? I don't ever say that. I got messed up on that. Hey, we can identify. There we go. We'll identify with her more than anybody else in the scripture, right? I believe, I'll give you four things, I'm done. I'm going to give them to you very quickly. I got 2 minutes. Is everybody with me? Four things I believe God expects out of people that are broken. Okay? I might even use this title before, but four things that I believe God expects out of broken folks. I believe, number one, God expects an awareness of who we are. An awareness. Of everybody in that room, that woman knew more about who she was than anybody else knew about who they were. And what I simply mean by this is that woman realized, you can tell by her actions, Jesse, that she knew exactly who she was. The rest of them were, they were putting on a facade and they were acting as if they belonged there. But this woman, she had a keen awareness of who she really was. And it brought her to brokenness, or it brought her to tears. God help us, many of us are living in a day and time. Many of us are living our lives right now without the awareness of who we really are. Without the awareness of who we really are. Not only did she have an awareness of who she was, but she had an awareness of who he was. And there's a lot of people that are living with an awareness of who they are, but they don't truly have an awareness of who he is. Is everybody with me? And so I believe God expects an awareness. He wants us to be aware about who we are. And I think he believes, is everybody with me? We ought to be aware of who he is too. I think it's expected of us. Number two, I'm moving quickly. Is everybody all right? I believe that God expects appreciation from us. I believe I can prove it in scripture. I believe I can prove it with 10 lepers and only one came back to him. I believe I can prove it because the question that Jesus asked was, where's the other nine? Were there not 10 lepers? Where are the 9? If there was 10 and all of them was cleansed, then how come only one came back? So I believe that God expects, is everybody all right? Out of broken people, I believe God expects appreciation. I believe he demands it. I believe we don't get it, and I believe we miss out on a lot of blessings because you and I aren't grateful for what God did for us. I've said it before, and I'm sure you probably said it too. If you only had tomorrow, what you thank God for today, how different would your life be tomorrow? Many of us talk about how great our marriage is and never thank God for it. Man, I try every day to thank God for that woman that I'm married to. I do. I thank God for my children. They're bad, but I thank God for them. I thank God for my grandbabies. I thank God for our health. I thank God. Is everybody with me? I believe God expects appreciation. And I believe he ought to get, I need somebody to help me. Because I expect it too. When I do something for my children, I expect appreciation. My kids, they'll tell you, you come to me asking for something, you better appreciate what I give you because I won't give it to you the next time. I have no problem saying no. Watch this. No. Never have. I never had a problem with it. Zachary, ask me a question, Zachary. Ask it. No. That's how it goes. Zachary, tell the truth. How many of our conversations go just like that? Okay. Have no problem saying no. Start them off on no, and then if you do allow it, it's a blessing. Just saying. God expects appreciation. Number three, God expects adoration. He said this. He said, give me the Bible. Somebody give me a Bible. Oh, you got it turned in the right spot? Give me this Bible. Let me see what you got here. All right, somebody give me a Bible. I can't even see that stuff. What are y'all looking at? What am I looking at right there? I can't figure out what it is. All right, it says this. It says, yeah, somebody might have to read it for me. Hers is a big letter. It says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. Listen to this. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And Jesus is preaching this. I just took and just said what he just said. He expects broken people to love more. That's a lot different than what I need somebody to help me now. That means don't sit here and tell me how broken your life was before Jesus and then act like you all right. Because who is forgiven more, according to the scripture, is going to love him more. And then lastly, we have an awareness. We have an appreciation. We have an adoration. And lastly, we have an application. Verse number 50. Go in peace. We're to take a broken person, is to take what God has given, apply it, and go in peace. We can go another passage of scripture where he told them to go and sin no more. So we know that's part of going in peace. Am I all right? And so God expects out of you and I an awareness of who we are or who he is. God expects out of us an appreciation for what he's done. All right. And what he's accomplished in our life. God, an adoration of love. And I went through in my notes, I'm not going to preach them, but I went through each part of that where she cried. She wiped with her hair. That was her glory. In other words, she was humble. In other words, she put off who she was. She put off her important standing and humbled herself at his feet and then kissed on. That ain't nothing. I promise you this. I washed feet one time in our church, and that was the most humbling experience I've ever had in my entire life. And here the Bible tells us that she anointed his feet. She kissed his feet. The humbling, the adoration is putting him where he is. He's supposed to be. That's our worship. Everybody with me? But lastly, application. What good is it if God fixes your brokenness and you turn around and go right back out broken? God help us. She's coming to the piano. We're done this morning. I told you what God expects out of us. But the question this morning is, what is God getting out of us? Is he getting appreciation? Is he getting adoration? Is he getting awareness? Has he gotten application? What is it? If God expects these things out of us and we're lacking in them, then we have a problem. But I want you to notice something with me. Simon, the Pharisee, Simon and this woman were this close to both having forgiveness. But Simon didn't have an awareness of who he was. Simon didn't have an awareness of who Jesus was. And therefore, he didn't have an appreciation for what Jesus did. Nor did he have any adoration for the love that Jesus would display. And so in application, he left out in the same condition that he entered into the presence of Christ with. Two different people. One went in peace, and by all accounts that we have, the other one went to hell. Two different people, both with the same opportunity. One received it, one rejected it. One went in peace, and as far as Scripture can tell us, the other one is burning in hell today. So with heads bowed this morning, I'll end the service with an invitation to you. An opportunity for you to receive as she received. Or an opportunity that you'll reject as Simon rejected. This morning, if you were to die, wherever you are in this building, standing, sitting, if you were to die this morning, do you know where you would spend eternity? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt where you would spend eternity? If you don't, I want you to do me a favor. When nobody's looking around, it's just me. I wonder if you look right up at me. Make eye contact with me. Preacher, I do not know where I'd spend eternity. I'm just asking you to be honest. That's all I'm doing. I'm not roping you into anything, and I'm not asking you to do anything, but be honest with me. Preacher, I do not know. Is there anybody in this building like that this morning that would be honest with me? Preacher, I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't see anybody this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, thank you for this morning. I thank you for the services today. God, thank you for our choir. Thank you for our Sunday school hour, our preaching time. Lord, I pray, Lord, that if we leave out of here, as we leave out of here, that God would be aware of who we really are. Lord, I think of that song, This Grace. Starts off with, I was once a sworn enemy. God, let us remember, let us be aware of who we are. Let us be aware of who you are. God, I pray, Lord, that we have an appreciation for what you did. Lord, there's many of us here that has a testimony of, Lord, a past life, Lord, that was just wicked. God, you saved us. You forgave us. I'm thankful, Lord, that you still forgive us. Lord, let us leave out of here with a heart of adoration. Lord, not with a heart that questions within ourselves who he really is, who you really are. Lord, may we leave out of here broken, applying truth to our lives, Lord, to become better people.